She's the talk of the town. You wanna be around to hear what Marge will say. What's going on in our hometown? What's the buzz today? She can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give Marge a cheer. Marge Hazelnut. She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give her a cheer. Marge Hazelnut.
And good Friday morning, Friday, October 26, 2018, the last Friday in October. Who could believe that? You're tuned in to Talk of the Town with Marge Hazelnut. Marge, here we are. The month of October is nearly over.
Correct.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't. It's My birthday's over.
Your birthday's over.
My birthday's over. I had a wonderful birthday.
Good.
Wonderful birthday.
And just straight off the news here, we have learned that one person is in custody related to the bomb-like packages sent to prominent Democrats, according to the Department of Justice. That's the headline. So hopefully they have found this person.
Mm. And, you know, I listened to the news this morning, but I didn't catch that.
Well, I'm glad that they found him.
I am, too.
Hopefully it's the person. And hopefully this will stop. But I think we were up to 12 of these things. Mm. My goodness.
Yes, I think it was.
Awful. But hopefully this is the person who was doing it, and hopefully they're in custody, and hopefully now this can stop.
Well, we got to work on trying to make people feel good about themselves and not hate so much. It must be a horrible thing to feel the need to hurt other people.
Well, I don't, you know, I always think about bullying and all that. There has to be something, and the pastor was talking about this morning, something that is missing, mm-hmm. something that is wrong mm-hmm. that would drive you to something like that.
I don't know. I know there was bullying. I was bullied a couple times, but for some odd reason it stopped because I ignored it. I just plain ignored it. But and it wasn't anything serious. It's just that I was afraid, and it stayed with me for a long time.
Well, that's the thing. I think when people are bullied, I think it creates a mentality that they always feel bullied.
Right.
Which can lead to a lot of trouble.
Right.
So it's unfortunate.
Yes. And really basically, I'm going to say administrators and teachers ignored it. When you you know, when you were frightened, they didn't handle it well at all. Oh, just buck up. I hate that word, just buck up. There's no bucking up to it. There's something wrong. We need to get to the core of it. We need to figure out why people feel the need to hurt people and to go around and scare them.
There has to be something wrong within themselves, I would
right.
think. What is there a saying? Hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody's got to be in some hurt themselves
right.
to want to inflict hurt on somebody else.
Right.
And that's the way it goes, though.
I know.
You know, it's. I am just thankful that none of these bombs made it to the people. None of these bombs blew up on postal workers. None of these bombs
right.
were, you know, that's thank God for that.
Right, right. He looks over us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm so glad you have these people on from the ministry.
Yeah.
They're good. They make you think. I love coming in. I come over here early because
yeah.
I love to sit and listen to them. They're excellent.
Well, you have to have all kinds of viewpoints.
Right.
Because somewhere in the collective middle, we will find the truth.
True.
And I think that's it. Or maybe just an opinion, but an opinion that you've come to from a place of interest.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So here we are a few days from, this will be our last Friday show before Halloween.
Right, right.
Halloween next Wednesday.
Right.
Amazing. Did you like Halloween when you were a kid, Marge?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we couldn't wait. And we went for the candy and the apples and stuff like that. We didn't even think about what it was all about.
Caramel apples used to be a big thing. Do people give caramel apples anymore?
I don't know, but we sure made a lot of them. It was a big thing.
And you packaged them up in cellophane, and you would right. tie them off and drop them in the bags, and people mm-hmm. would have a great time. It was a sweet.
And we made apple butter when I was a kid.
Oh, I love apple
My
butter.
My grandmother burned her legs really bad with the tin reflecting the heat off. But I remember we did it outdoors, and it was cold.
Well, I think in later days, they started making apple butter in pressure cookers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Thank goodness, because
right,
I think
because
that was...
it was dangerous.
Yeah. Now, for apple butter, what you need is apples and brown sugar and cinnamon.
Right.
I think that's what is the... mm-hmm. But you have to get the ingredients right, because if you get the ingredients wrong, then you're really in trouble.
Yes, yes.
But I love good apple butter.
Yes, I do too.
But some of it's too rich.
Yes.
You know, I like the lighter apple butter. That kind of, it looks like sandpaper, that
right.
color. I don't like the kind that looks like, what could I equate it to? Just dark brown, dark brown.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, about the color of brown sugar.
You know, I'm so glad I lived at the time I did. I learned so many values. Met so many wonderful people, and I can play off of a lot of it.
Yeah.
Because I lived it. It isn't something I made up. We lived it. And, you know, I was a war kid. We were brought up during the war. We had very little, you know, as far as things were concerned. But we had fun.
You know, next weekend, I think the time change happens.
Yes, I think it does,
too. I believe that's November 3rd or November 4th, whatever next Saturday. Let's see. The 3rd will be Saturday. So that night will be we'll fall mm-hmm. back an hour. You gain an hour's sleep.
Right.
And there'll be another hour of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings people to depression.
Mm-hmm. I just want to throw something in while it's on my mind. I'm just so pleased with our city administrators and the road services and everything. Our town looks beautiful.
Yeah, it
Have
does.
Have you really looked at it and took time? When I'm at the streetlight where the old St. Mary's used to be, I sit there. It's a long light, and I used to get angry when I had to come up there and wait. Now I come and view it a different. It is really refreshing to see those beautiful streets and the men working, and nobody seems to be hollering at each other. It's very low-key. It's really, they're doing a great job.
Well, we need some low-key.
Yes, we do. And we need some people to be awarded. And I don't mean with money, but they need words. They need encouragement, because our town is beginning to look really beautiful.
Why do you think we tend, I mean, we're always willing to point out people's faults, but we're never willing to point out the good.
Right. I don't know, but I sure like it. I just praise him every day.
Yeah.
And I tell people, you know, I really enjoy this. I enjoy sitting at the streetlight, just looking around, seeing what's being done in our beautiful city.
I do want to mention there are two things coming up here. One tonight, Charlie Evers, Sean Kraft, and Terry Tackett, Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, and Buckeye Guy will all be out at Primrose tonight, 6:10 to 8 p.m. It'll be a live broadcast on the air. It's a tailgate party and chili cook-off, and Charlie and I will be two of the judges in this chili cook-off.
Well, good.
I like chili, and today's a good day for chili.
I love chili if it's not spicy.
Well, see, I like the non-spicy chili, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
So tonight, Charlie and I will be judging this chili, and it'll be live on the air for you. So you've got to listen tonight.
Okay, 6:10
to 8 p.m., and we'll also have Buckeye Guy there, the big super fan with the cowboy hat. And Terry will be there, and Sean will be there, and Mary Ellen Withrow will be there with us. So we'll have a two-hour, very interesting broadcast.
That sounds great. I love Primrose.
Yeah, Primrose will be a lot of fun tonight. Mm-hmm. Also, coming up on election night, November 6th, which is a week from next Tuesday, 7:10 p.m. we will go live on the air, and we will have continuous election coverage. We'll do it until the last race is called. In studio that night will be myself, Charlie Evers, and Sean Kraft. Linda Sims will be down at the Board of Elections, and Terry Tackett will be going back and forth between Democrat and Republican headquarters.
Well, great.
So that'll be election night starting at 7:10 p.m. We'll have all the local races and the governor's race and all that, and we'll all be here.
Oh, sounds great.
So we'll be covering it all.
You're covering it all.
You got to do that.
That's true.
And we will not break, as I say. Once we go on at 7:10, we will be on until the cows come home.
Okay. I'll watch for it.
Yeah. How do you feel about this election season?
I don't know. I'm kind of confused, to tell you the truth. I don't know.
It's interesting.
It is. It's very interesting.
And I don't know where it will all lead.
I don't either.
But thank goodness we've only got 11 more days.
I'm glad it will be over.
Well, I'll just be so glad to see the end of the television commercials. I'll be so glad to be done with the mailers. I mean, some people do a nice job on these mailers, but yesterday I had three of them. Three political mailers. And one was a full sheet of paper. I can only imagine what that thing costs.
I can imagine. I'm not sure it's a good place to spend money.
I don't know. Do you think people look at them?
No. Do you?
No, I didn't. I looked at them enough to know that they were political.
Right.
And then I just dropped them in the...
And it's too bad, because people take their time, their money, their effort, and put into it. And what reward do they really get out of it? I don't know.
And it's not cheap.
No, it certainly is not.
And their cards are not cheap either. You can see that they've spent a lot of money to make them color and good card stock. And
well, and the same thing with the yard advertisements. That's not a cheap thing either. It's expensive to do.
I don't know. I mean, I know it's people have said that's an important thing to do. But do you think that when people go in to pull the lever, that they really think about the yard signs?
No. Do you?
No. I mean, I see the yard signs. When I go in, I just think if I know the people, I make a decision based on that.
Right.
And if I don't know the people, then I pick the person who I think would do the best job.
Correct.
So beyond that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But this issue one is very interesting about, I guess, if you get convicted of a drug crime the first two times, you will not get a felony. Which I think we got a lot of people with felonies who can't get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me think that maybe that would be a good idea.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Does anybody in the audience have an opinion? You can call in and ask anything, by the way. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you. I don't know. I'm not totally decided on that one way or another yet. But I have another 11 days to think about it. Mm-hmm. See, I like going out on election day. I know a lot of people vote absentee and a lot of people early vote. But I like going out in the crowd that day.
Mm-hmm. And hear what people say.
Hear what people are talking about. And I like to see how many people are there, because it gives me an idea. If there's a big turnout at my polling place, then I know there's going to be a big turnout probably across the country.
Right.
Do you think a lot of people are going to come out in this one?
Well, there's some pretty good issues on the ballot.
We're going to elect the 70th governor of Ohio.
Right.
70th. And it's going to be a new person one way or another.
Right, right.
DeWine or Cordray. We're going to see the way it goes. It's all fascinating.
I don't know. It's just kind of frightening, too.
Well, it is, because I think people don't want to make the wrong choice. I do think people are studying more.
Yes, I think so.
But I hope they're looking in the right places, because there also is a lot of very misleading information out there.
Right.
And you don't want that.
No, we don't.
You can't be
misled. No, it's really something that I've thought a lot about. I know how I feel right now. Now, whether I change in 11 days, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't even think these TV ads influence me.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of tired of them.
Well, they say the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They find different ways to say the same stuff. And it just goes on and on and on
and on and on. Right.
I'm much more interested in the upcoming Thanksgiving.
Right.
It comes early this year, November 22nd.
Yes, it does.
I like a good Thanksgiving. I've been having it at my house the last few years. And I make the turkey, and I usually make the rolls and the stuffing, and then everybody else brings the rest of the stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a nice way to do it.
I do, too. Do you have your family?
I do. I have my family over and some friends over, and we have a really good time.
That's nice. Good.
And then when they all leave, I put the tree up.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. Because I...
Do you do it by yourself?
I do. Well, it's kind of varied. Sometimes, because we eat late.
Mm-hmm.
We usually eat 4 or 5 o'clock that day.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they're still there, and they help me put it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or sometimes they want to go shopping, mm-hmm. which has become a thing now. And they'll go do that, and I'll stay and put the tree up. But I always put it up Thanksgiving night because it's a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
And I figure if I'm going to put this thing up, I want it to be up for, you know, the duration. New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it up Thanksgiving night. I'll take it down New Year's Day. Because if I'm going to put that much effort into something, I want it to be up for a while.
Right.
But some people leave their trees up all year round.
Yes, I know.
I don't know.
I probably have a couple up downstairs.
Why?
I have my big Christmas trees up downstairs because I like the way it's decorated and nobody goes down there anyway.
So, a lot of people leave their lights up all year round.
Right.
I think it's not the decorations that people do and they will be doing here pretty soon. I think that's going to be awfully. It's always interesting to drive through town and see all the Christmas
mm-hmm.
lights.
Mm-hmm. My husband would really love Christmas. He really loved to decorate.
Now, he was a collector of Santa Claus.
Oh, yes. He? Yes, I still have them.
So he would buy those wherever he saw them.
Right. Or people bought them for him.
Yeah.
They have a large collection.
That's good. Holidays can also be depressing for people.
Oh, yes, it is for a lot of people. It has never been for me, even though there's a lot of bad things that's happened on that date in my life. But, you know, you got to go up and be on it.
Well, I think a lot of people, family members leave and so on and so forth. And mm-hmm. I think that becomes, and there are a lot of broken homes mm-hmm. and all that. And I think the holidays sometimes remind people of past Christmases and
right.
past holidays. But I always adapt.
I do, too. I look at it this way. Life has to go on.
It does.
I can't change anything. It's already done. I have to live, you know.
Life will go on
That's
until
right.
I die.
And my husband would not want me just sitting boo-hoo over something I can't control.
Well, that's the thing. People have to... we are such control freaks in life
mm-hmm.
that we want to control everything. Well, there are things that are just beyond our control.
That's right.
And you have to accept that. And the quicker you do, the better off you'll be.
Mm-hmm. That's what I used to hopefully instill in my children in the class, is there's things we cannot control. We have to live and do the best we can.
Well, and you never know who people might show up.
That's right.
You know, new people who mm-hmm. you never would have thought would have been a part of
Correct.
Something. And then all of a sudden there they are and
mm-hmm.
onward and upward.
Well, I have a nice little group of students that call me and come over and I'm blessed. I'm really blessed.
I don't think people string popcorn anymore. I remember stringing popcorn.
No, we don't anymore.
No, I remember when I was a kid, that was a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
Stringing popcorn.
We ate more than we strung.
You do. But you used to have to take a needle and a piece of thread, and you'd string it through.
A darning needle.
Oh, yes.
So it's good and strong.
And then at the end, you pulled the needle off, tied a knot, and you had these rows of popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that went by the wayside.
Right. So many of the old rituals have gone by the wayside.
Do you remember the chains that used to be made at Christmas?
Yes.
The strips of paper and you glue them together and you create these Christmas chains of green and red. And that used to
be. You know, we did a lot of that stuff in school that I don't see anymore.
I don't know what happened.
Well, there were a lot of people that thought it was a religious thing and decided not to do it and took it out.
I don't even know what those chains used to represent.
I don't either.
But they were Christmas.
Right.
You did them at Christmas.
And do you remember the Christmas plays? We went in on Christmas Eve to the church and celebrated then came home and went to bed and dreamt about all the things that you hoped to get and you didn't get any of them.
Well, I used to love to go to a church service on Christmas
Eve.
Oh,
I always did.
I always, if I can, I still try to make one.
I don't, like I used to.
Because there's something about going to a church on Christmas Eve.
It's so relieving.
Yeah, and it's special, and it, I just, people come in their best clothes, and they, the little kids are in anticipation of Christmas night, and everybody's in a good mood, and everything's closed, and it's nice.
Well, we always went to church, and we always praised God, and so, I don't know, I fortunately had a good family, so I'm blessed.
You know what I didn't like, though, was that fake snow.
Yeah, I don't like
that. Do they still have that?
I don't know.
I always thought that stuff was toxic.
Probably was.
I mean, you shook it up.
Uh-huh.
Like whipped cream or, but it had a smell, kind of like hairspray.
Yes.
And you'd spray it on your windows, and some people sprayed it on their trees.
Right. I think we did one year on our tree, but didn't like it.
Oh, awful. Awful stuff.
Awful stuff.
And it's hard to get off.
Mm-hmm. But you know, a lot of your friends don't even want to celebrate any of that stuff.
You know, if you want to do that today, just put some Alka-Seltzer on your tree. It'll foam up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to buy that fake snow. Huh. Just put some Alka-Seltzer in a cup and then dump it on the tree.
Mm-hmm. We think of all kinds of great ideas in this show.
You've got to be crafty nowadays.
Right.
Because
right.
And remember the icicles?
Oh, yes.
I never understood why those were called icicles.
I don't know either.
They didn't look like icicles.
Nope. Not the kind you and I remember.
No. And they
remember putting those in your mouth?
Oh.
I don't know why they didn't want us, was going to poison us.
All I know is they ruined vacuum cleaners.
What, the icicles?
Yeah. Because they were kind of stringy. And if you had to vacuum them off the floor, which you did because you didn't leave them on your tree, boy, they would tie up a vacuum cleaner.
How many vacuum cleaners did you tie up?
Well, see, that's the problem. See, I had this conversation with Heloise not too long ago. See, I do not have an electric can opener.
You don't?
Nope. I still have the old crank.
Okay.
So, but I break them all the time. And every time I go to the store, I try to buy a better one than the one I had before. But they keep breaking. So I eventually...
Maybe you're just too strong.
Well, I don't know what happened. See, here's what happened, though, recently. I bought this new one, and I used it a few times, and it didn't seem to be working right. And then I thought I broke it because it wouldn't work on the can. I thought, oh, geez, Sister Mary... Here we go, another can opener down the drain. And but then I forgot that I had broken it, and I put it back in the drawer. And I got out a can and didn't think about it, and now it works better than it did before it was broken. So I don't know if I just worked out the kinks on it or what happened.
Maybe there's a little gremlin in your house.
I would like an... Well, here's the thing. I think I would like an electric can opener, but I think there... They're convenient, but don't you think that's a little lazy?
No.
You don't?
Not for a woman. I don't have the strength in my little paws like I used to have. I have Tomcat now. He's strong.
Now, he could do it.
Oh, yes, he could break anything you want him to break.
Well, see, I like, because I figure if the electric goes out, I can still open cans.
Oh, sure, but you can have both.
Yeah, but here's the thing. See, If remember when Y2K or we're always worried about nuclear weapons,
yes,
or the power grids going down. Now, see, if that happens, all you people with electric can openers, you're going to be out of luck. You're not going to be able to get into that canned food you saved up. But I'll be able to get
I can get a screwdriver and perforate the can lid.
Can you pop a can open with a screwdriver?
I don't know about that. All I know is I can take my, what is it that you have that has the straight, sharp edge on it, and I can pound it down and go around with it.
But would the screwdriver, the stuff that you worked on your car with, would that get into the food?
I wouldn't be using one that I had with the car. I have extra ones.
You have extra screwdrivers.
Mm-hmm. I have double things in my house.
Well, I have a few things in my house too, but I don't know that I would use. See, I have the can opener.
I would use a can opener for the house, for house stuff, and I would use a can opener for my car or whatever else thing was outdoors in another container.
But wouldn't it be better just to have a can opener that you'd, instead of a screwdriver, a can opener that didn't use electricity?
Well, yeah, if I could afford it.
Well, I think those are pretty cheap. They're cheaper than the electric can openers.
Oh, really? I haven't bought one for a long time.
You see, people have to think about this. If you lost power for a long period of time, think of the things that you couldn't use.
I do think about those things.
Yeah.
I have lots of stuff in my house.
Well, people always talk about their cell phones and computers, but think about your can openers.
Mm-hmm. The necessities.
Your mixers. Think about all this stuff that runs on. See, I don't even use the electric mixer. I just get out a spoon and I whip it up.
Yeah, but you got the strength to do that.
Well, I do, but I think it's a good plan B for people.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So I just...
Well, you'd love my house because it has double everything. Over the period of years. See, I'm not young anymore. I still have stuff when I was a kid that I still have in my little box. And so I get it out when I really need to.
Well, I remember people who used to have gas stoves. When the electric went out, they would open up the stove, and that would heat the room.
That's right.
But I don't think that's good.
No, that can give off the wrong fumes.
Well, and I also read the other day, I think it was a guy was trying to do something real simple, like light a candle or something with a blowtorch, and he burned the house down.
Yeah, you can also blow things up with... putting the wrong things together.
See, I don't think you should give people blowtorches.
No, I don't have one in my house.
All these things. Mm-hmm. It's too much. Mm-mm. Too much. You're gonna cause a problem. Because somebody's going to get in there that doesn't know how to use the blowtorch, and they're going to burn your house down.
Do you know how to use a blowtorch?
No, I don't have a blowtorch.
I don't either.
No, see, I wouldn't even know what you would do with a blowtorch.
What did we use blowtorches for? My dad had one, but I don't know what we used it for.
I mean, I don't think I'm going to do any welding or anything.
Well, I think that's what Dad did with welding.
See, I think welding has gone by the wayside. I don't know any welders anymore.
Oh, there are a few welders, but they're master ones. They know what they're doing.
What is something in your house that would need welding?
Something that broke that was metal. Wouldn't break very often, but there are things that break.
There are so few things that are made of metal anymore,
right?
Though. People just throw it away.
Yeah, that you don't
need it. Yeah, people used to weld, I know, car frames back together.
Bicycle frames.
But I was never sure if that was good, because once you welded it, it always looked a little rough.
Didn't look too good.
No, like...
They could tell that you had used it pretty hard.
Yeah, like if you had hit a bump pretty good, that thing was going to come loose. And, you know, the other day I was on Route 95... right there before the off-ramp on 23.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a car pulled over on the side of the road, and I think the suspension had fallen on this car. I'd never seen that before.
No, I haven't.
Because the suspension was laying in the road, and the car was there. And I thought, well, this guy must have lost his suspension. But when I passed by it, because he had his blinkers on, there was a truck in front of it. So I think the truck was pulling the car where the suspension had fallen, and I think they had tied up the suspension with something to drag the car wherever they were going to drag it, mm-hmm. and then somehow it came loose.
Hmm.
Just call a wrecker.
I call somebody all the time if I need to. I have gone past that stage. I don't have my dad anymore to help me. We were buddies. My grandfather, like I told you, I went out to my first meeting being on the board of the museum, Huber Museum. I loved it. The people were just wonderful. I had a wonderful Saturday.
Mm,
just enjoyed it to no end.
Well, see, I don't think you want to drive down Route 95, Marion's busiest road, and have
suspension break.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Nope.
If your suspension looks like it's going to break, take the back roads.
Right.
Because you cause a traffic...
jam.
Oh, and people aren't looking anymore because everybody's texting while they're driving. They'll run you over. You're out there trying to do something. Heaven forbid you ever pop a tire on that road.
I know.
I don't know what you'd do. If you're in the center lane and you popped a tire,
Hopefully the guy in back of you stops.
Well, I think if you are on Route 95 and you pop a tire, you better hope it's in front of the mausoleum. Then you can just check in.
Well, I have a reservation there.
You do have a crypt there at the mausoleum.
Yes, I do.
See, I've thought that that might be an interesting place to go.
Me, I like the idea. Yeah. There's a few places. I'm kind of up high. You know, they don't want to be up high. Well, that's what was left. Didn't bother me.
Well, see, what I'm worried about is I'm afraid they'll tear down the mausoleum like they did over in Caledonia.
I think this is here to stay, I hope.
See, I don't know because it's on 95, and I just wondered if one of these big franchises is going to come in one day
making
and say,
hamburgers making in my mausoleum.
Yes. See, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're
talking
about.
They'll say, man, we've got to have that property. And they'll buy the mausoleum, and then they'll just tear it down like they did over in Caledonia. And I think they just threw the people in a mass grave or something. Oh, I don't know. I can't say for
sure. Well, I have a reserve grave. I can go back where my husband is.
Well, hopefully. I don't even know if
a cemetery.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they alerted the people that they were going to do that.
You think they will?
Well, I don't know, because do you have to leave a number for somebody if this mausoleum should be torn down, call the family? So how would they know?
I don't. Well, they just have a record of who's in there.
Right, but how do they know who the family is? Like, say, 50 years from now, they decide.
I think you fill out a sheet of paper, if I remember right.
But what if that person dies?
You're just out of luck.
Well, that's what I think. I think, about it. If somebody bought the mausoleum and they.
Well, you take some person you think will be outliving you, and then you put their name on it, and they'll put a name on there, and. You can put my cat's names on. They'll come over and take care of it.
Well, I thought that the people, I don't know. I hope it's Caledonia. I know this happened in a mausoleum somewhere. But I bet those people didn't think that the mausoleum was going to be torn down. But I guess it went into bad repair.
Well, this one, fortunately, has people who are still alive and work on it.
Now, where does that money come from to take care of the mausoleum?
You know, well, you buy it in the first place, and they probably put it in some kind of a safe place in a bank or something.
But won't that money eventually run out?
No, I think if you put it in the right things, it'll go on.
I
don't know. I'll have to ask those questions.
You know what?
Let's have him on.
Oh, the mausoleum man?
Yeah.
Oh, does he own it?
No, nobody represents
caretaker.
It. He works on it. He's a caretaker.
We should have him on.
Let's get him on.
We'll talk about the mausoleum.
You know what? We'll talk about the mausoleum. Let me know when you want him. I'll call him.
Well, because I'm next Friday morning.
Okay, I'll see if I can get him.
On this show, we'll have the mausoleum. What's his name?
Beckel, I believe.
Beckel. Well, see, we need to, because I want, maybe I'll get a spot there. I'll talk to him next week. And I just want to be sure that I'm not going to end up out of back of some burger chain that's going to buy that spot.
Hey, let's do get him on.
Wouldn't you want to know this, Marge?
Pardon?
We got to know this.
Yeah, well, I'll call today when I get home.
Yes, tell him next Friday from 11 to 12, we want him on because we need to know. And I want to know the prices.
Oh, yeah, he'll have it all.
Because if I go in there, I just want an assurance that one day, you know,
been around a long time, and let's see what happens when he goes.
Well, look what they did though with East Lawn Manor. They tore that down and sent the Walmart came in, offered big money, and they. Although I don't know what happened to those senior citizens, I'm sure they were transferred.
Am I free
to
give your phone numbers out that I have in my notebook?
Oh, sure. Have him, because I think this man will be fine to come on because I will go in a mausoleum as long as.
Oh, I love it. It's beautiful and it's carpeted.
It's heated?
I don't know. Plenty of sunlight coming in there.
Well, I hope it's heated.
I don't know. I've been in there when it's warm.
That's good.
In May.
Where do you park?
Well, there's parking places in the back, I think.
Because I could never figure
out
where
I've driven in there, so I know I can park.
I'm just afraid one day that car wash is going to want to expand, and then there'll be just people, a car wash.
Well, that car washes down quite a ways, doesn't it?
What's next to the mausoleum? Is it Tim Hortons?
No, that's on down farther.
Taco Bell?
I don't know. I'll have to look when I go home.
All I know is I'm afraid one day. You know how these people do.
You won't know.
Well, I won't know, but I just.
But you're preparing.
I'm preparing because I want to make sure. I don't like the thought of somebody opening up a burger chain after I spent this dough on a mausoleum. What does mausoleum mean?
Burial place, I guess. I don't know.
Burial above ground?
Maybe. I don't know. I never thought about it.
I don't know what mausoleum means.
You don't have a dictionary?
I'll have to find one. We'll find one during the break.
You can put it on your computer over there.
And they can put stuff in there with you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, but you know,
I don't know if I can put my kitties in there.
Oh. Maybe not.
My kitty, my little tiger girl, is already being kept, so she can be put in there.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I'll need anything. I mean, once you're gone, I don't think I need anything.
I want my animal with me. Tiger.
I think I'll just go in. Just slide me on in. Shut the door. Are there good locks on those doors?
I think so.
I would hate to have the door swing open one day.
You could walk out.
I'd come right out. But if the mausoleum was in a part of town where people weren't expanding, I would feel much safer. But since it's on Route 95, I just think...
Been there a long time.
Well, I know, but one day, I don't know. I want to know, like, when Mr. Beckel dies, who's going to be the next character?
That's the right name. I think so.
Do they have this all worked out to where this place is going to be there forever? You know,
We'll get him on the radio.
We'll find this out.
And we'll find out what we can, see if he's available next Friday from 11 to 12, 12 to 1.
Because I just cannot, 11 to 12.
11 to 12.
I just can't get in.
Just an hour.
Just an hour. Because I just cannot get into cremation.
No, I can't either.
I don't like cremation.
Nope, not me. Not only be burnt.
No, no. Mm-hmm. I don't. I know people like it, and that's okay.
Nope, I don't.
I mean,
like
I think
it.
That's fine if you want to be cremated. I know a lot of
but
people.
But I have
are going
a choice. If I don't like it at one house, I can go to the next one.
With cremation?
Well, no, I can go and be buried with my husband.
Oh yeah, you have a choice.
Yeah, I have a choice.
Well, that's.
If I don't
nice.
Like it one place, I can walk over to the other one. Little walk.
Yeah, just move it on over. Right. See, this always comes back to my contention about Eber Baker.
Right.
The founder of Marion.
Right.
Is he really buried in the Marion Cemetery? Because I've called them, and they don't have any record of him being moved over there. Now, he was originally buried over in the Quarry Street Cemetery.
Right.
But there is a plaque... Well, a tombstone for him in the Marion Cemetery. But when they pull that file out, it doesn't have any record of him being moved over there. Now, they say he was moved over there, but I think he's still in Quarry Street.
You know, it's sad how people don't keep good records.
Well, that's what I say. 100, 200 years pass, and you're in trouble.
No.
Because your family's all gone by that point, and who's there to take care of you? And I think what the problem is, because they started using that Quarry Street as a parking lot during the popcorn festival, and I think people were parking on Eber Baker, and that was bad press
right.
that were parking on the founder of Marion, and they said, oh, we can't have that, so let's say we moved him over to the Marion Cemetery, because how could they have found him? I've never seen any records for the Marion Cemetery to where they could have found Eber Baker's body.
I would think as diligent as they were back in those days that they would have records. You know, we're faulted for so many things that we haven't done, but boy, they didn't do very good record
keeping. Oh, no, they were, what do they call that? When you used to dip the feather in the ink? What did they call that? That was called something. I don't remember what they called that.
I got a term going around in my head that I know it isn't right.
But that's how they kept records. They didn't keep good records. So I don't believe they knew where Eber Baker
that's
was.
That's another thing, too, is we should have, we should have Charlie talk about record keeping.
Well, I know Charlie worked at the Marion Cemetery at one point.
But that's been more recent.
Right. I think in the old days, they didn't keep records.
Oh, I think they did, but they didn't keep them well.
Well, right, because they used that pen with the feather on it.
Quill?
Quill. That's it. You got it, Marge.
I had a quill pen when I was a kid.
You had a quill pen.
Yes, I did.
And in those days, it was
all... Remember, I'm an old woman.
You used a quill?
Sure, we used the quill pens. During the war, we used a lot of things.
You had to do away with the ink pens.
Right.
But the point is, I don't think they moved Eber Baker.
Well, we're going to have to find out from Charlie when it comes in, because he will know.
Well, I don't know if he'll know or not. Because I think Charlie and I have had this conversation before.
Well, what do you know about the history of Marion? Do you know whether the...
Eber Baker, our founder...
Running around somewhere? There's a ghost in my house, I swear to God.
A ghost?
Well, I think the cats are the ghosts. No, in the night, cats come out. And they like the... piano, and they like, it scares me to death. I have to put that lid down, or they play music in the night.
That would scare you. That would scare you.
My house is spooked, I think.
You know, anything that happens in the middle of the night is scary, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one night the doorbell rang, like at 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I went to the doorbell, and I thought, well, somebody's coming to kill me. But then I thought, killers don't usually ring the doorbell. So I thought... Oh,
I'm announcing I'm coming to kill you.
I want to let you know I'm a polite killer. So I looked through the peephole, and I saw the Domino's truck outside. And I'm thinking, well, I know I didn't order a pizza, and I don't think the Domino's man will kill me. So I opened up the door, and he said, well, here's your pizza. And I said, well, no, it's not my pizza because I've been asleep. And he said, well, no, it is your pizza. I said, well, no, it's not my pizza. So that kind of thing went on for about 5 minutes, where he was trying to tell me this was my pizza, and I didn't accept it. I felt bad. I said, I don't. He said, well, this is your address. And I said, no. I said, yes, that's my address, but this is not my pizza. So he eventually left, and you know what happened? I learned later on that a friend of mine had ordered a pizza from my house at one point, and... they had it delivered to my house. Mm-hmm. So their phone number was associated with my address. So when they ordered the pizza on their phone, the pizza people didn't qualify the address and just sent the pizza over to my house. So he had ordered the pizza.
Okay, here we have the boss here now.
Yeah. Charlie, okay. Where's Eber Baker buried? Quarry Street or Marion Cemetery?
Next to Grant.
He's next to Grant. Who's buried in Grant's tomb? Do you really believe they moved him?
I have no reason to believe they didn't.
Why do? Because when I asked the Marion Cemetery what year he was moved, they said, we have no record of that.
I don't know. When I worked there, there's complete records of who's buried where.
They know where his tombstone is.
Well, yeah,
but sure. They don't know.
In fact, that's a second tombstone.
Oh, well, see, here's what I believe. And also... see, I learned that he was married twice, and he was buried next to his wife. And I said, well, did they move his wife, too? Because they were both buried in the Quarry Street Cemetery.
I find, you know, I looked at some of the records that we inherited when I was at the Historical Society from early times when Eber Baker's daughter became pregnant.
And he just led a scandalous life.
It was. You see...
He divorced in those days and remarried, and
but this
a daughter.
This was his daughter, became pregnant, and the guilty man, supposedly guilty man, was brought to trial.
For getting somebody pregnant?
Yes.
Oh, so in those
and
days...
there, I saw the...
No, you can't do that.
I saw the court record of this.
What was the charge?
What do you call it?
Was she underage? Was that the problem?
Maybe it was like Me Too people. Maybe she was the first Me Too.
Mrs. What was her name? What was the daughter's name?
Elizabeth Anna.
Because I'm not sure what... So the cemetery had the records of the trial?
No. The Historical Society does. We inherited... In fact, the Sheriff's Department gave us metal cabinets full of court records clear back in the 1820s. And the man that was accused said... I didn't do it. And the judge said, yes, you did, and you're guilty.
Well, when was the last year, though, that the Quarry Street Cemetery was opened?
Well, I don't know. probably late 1920s.
Maybe. So where did those records go? Wouldn't they have went over to the Marion Cemetery?
Well, the courthouse might have had those records, but wasn't there something that happened at the courthouse? A lot of records were destroyed.
See,
yes, but
this
I don't remember what happened to them.
This has conspiracy written all over it. I think Eber Baker is over at the Quarry Street Cemetery.
But what difference would it make?
Because people park on the Quarry Street Cemetery. They're parking.
They didn't.
Yes, they did.
They did?
Oh, yes, they did before they put that fence up.
That's far from the festival.
That's where they parked during the parade. Oh, yes, they did. They would park right up on there, and then they had to put a fence in there. Yeah.
That fence was there long before the festival.
No, I swear to you, Charlie.
Because I know.
There's a story on the internet.
I know all about that fence.
I'll bet you a Big Mac that they used to park on that.
Well, if they did, but the fence was put up by the, I think, a DAR or
but
somebody.
I'm talking about the new fence that they put up.
The smaller fence.
Right. But
there's only a few tombstones inside of it.
Right, but people used to park on that.
There used to be a fence around it, a wooden board fence.
Well, that went down, and then people decided they were going to park on it.
The biggest controversy may be what happened to the tombstones at Quarry Street Cemetery.
Kids knocked them over.
There are rumors the city picked them up, and they're at the bottom of Morbid Hill in Lincoln Park.
Well, you know what? We're coming back in 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
Road, telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage, CRT.